Welcome back, Redheads, to another episode of the Redheads Book Club, April edition. April Fools, y'all. We're recording on a Monday, also known as April Fools, so I feel like this episode might be fraught with April Fools landmines. But, of course, it will drop the first Thursday in April, so hopefully there's not too many things, because we don't want this episode to be dated, Dana.
Dana.
So don't hit us with the April
Fools. I'm done for the day. I hit you guys where it hurt, and we'll get into it.
I have some questions for you in terms of your April Fool's Day strategy.
The logistics.
So, like, sure. I'm assuming you plan them in advance.
Yeah, but like just the big ones, like Redheads I had typed out the night before, a few other friend ones were in my notes, and then as I gain steam throughout the day, I like impulsively think of new ones to catch people on, but only like three or four are handwritten notes beforehand.
And how far out do you think of them?
Just a day, really.
Just a few
months. I did
months.
It all last night.
Yeah. Just from 2014 on.
Okay. But Dana said that her and Josh actually collaborated on them this year, and he helped her.
He did.
And that he is exempt.
He's exempt?
He
I
has
would think
to
that
be.
He would get the brunt of it the most.
I would think so, too.
If he fell for it, he'd be a big, fat idiot. I spent my entire night curating April Fools. Like, he's got to be on
he's
guard.
He's still got to try.
You
just
really
let him know that no one's safe.
But also,
there's still time.
Also, what you do is, like, you sent yours, like, so early this morning, which is why I didn't, like, consider for a second it was April Fool's. Had you sent it now, like, I would never have believed
duh,
it.
Duh, snitch.
It's part of the strategy. I'm asking about the strategy.
Oh, I wasn't born yesterday. I was actually stressed because I was, like, up for a little last night, not sleeping. And I was like, oh, my God, I have to go to sleep. Like, I have to wake up early for April Fool's. I can't be sleeping till 9:30.
Oh, my God. Dana, what are your favorite days of the year in order, like top three? Like your birthday, then April
then
Fool's.
Then Pi Day.
Then Pi Day.
And then September 1st, I send a Snapchat every year, wake me up when September ends. And then October 1st, hey, I thought I told you to wake me
I
up.
I love those ones. Did you not know that, Jackie?
Of course I knew that, but I forgot. Oh my God, are there any others?
Just that. That's enough to keep me busy the whole year.
For one crazy girl. Well, I'm glad everyone got to get in on the fun. The prank this year, in case you don't follow us on Instagram, in which case, you guys, I know I've been saying this for 3 years, but now I can say it with my full chest. You're missing out. The Redhead Renaissance is well underway. The content is so premium. We're so trendy with our audio, with our reels. We're getting the whole gang involved. Bex was away this month on an amazing trip that she's going to tell us about. But now that she's back, I'll be putting you to work as well.
I'm so excited.
With content generation.
Yes.
We're a rocket ship.
We're a rocket ship. We're taking off to the moon. So make sure you're following us on Instagram. It's just going to be like a great bookstagram to follow for like book recs, funny content, relatable. Like I can't even get into all of it. There's too much.
Too much.
Too much. So I want to catch up with my girlies because it's been, well, a month. And everyone's had a very busy month, but we absolutely have to start with Rebecca because she went to Israel on a mission trip, and it was so incredible, and we would love to hear about it.
It really was the most meaningful trip I think I've ever been on. And so, as Jackie mentioned, I was in Israel for a week on a mission trip, and it was bearing witness to the atrocities that happened on October 7th and a ton of volunteer work because the country needs as many hands as possible right now. So many people have been drafted in war, and so many people fled the country when everything erupted on October 7th, and also so many people, unfortunately, were murdered. And so it's just it's an insane time to be in Israel, but also an incredible time to be in the country. Everybody, there's such camaraderie. There's really palpable togetherness and community that is pretty inspiring and very refreshing to see. I feel like our country is so divided, and it's amazing to be in a place where there's such uniform mentality about protecting a country and its right to exist, which frankly most people don't really believe that is the truth. I was with my mom, which was really, really special. Hey, mom, she's an active redhead. And so
did she read this month?
She did not read this month, but she always listens, you know? She just wants to hear the girlies catch up first and foremost, and the content is also a bonus. She reads a lot of it, but she didn't read this month.
Got it. Yeah, I think a lot of people listen out there in the world who don't read every book. That's fine.
That's fine. But what I will say is if you're thinking about potentially going to Israel and you're wondering if now is a good time given what's happening in the world, I would say now is truly one of the most impactful times you could ever choose to visit Israel. It'll really transform your life. You'll know that the time that you spend there will mean so much to the people of Israel and the Jewish community and the non-Jewish community too. And I think that that counts for a lot. And it just really restored like my faith in humanity, which is kind of crazy and backwards, but really it did. And if anybody wants to learn more, you can follow me on Instagram. I have a whole reel dedicated or story saved about the time. And so if anybody's looking to just better understand what's taking place in Israel right now, I'd encourage you to start there. And thanks for everybody who reached out.
I'm glad you saved those stories to a highlight because more people should see them. So at Rick Cube, she has her Israel stories on her page, and it looked amazing.
Right. Did you do it through like an organization?
I actually did it through my synagogue, which shout out to Temple Beth Hillel Bethel right outside of Philadelphia, which actually encountered horrible hatred the last 2 weeks. That my synagogue was defaced with a swastika, not one, but 2 weeks in a row. And so there's actually kind of like around the news. And it really is quite disturbing that that's coming on the heels of our trip to Israel. Mm-hmm. But it was organized through Beth Hillel. And if not, I would say, because a lot of people reached out about how to learn about mission trips. Birthright is doing mission trips. JNF is doing trips. I would say even if you don't belong to a synagogue, you could call your synagogues in the area and just better understand which synagogues are doing trips, because I think that you could probably get involved even if you don't belong. But a lot of these trips are popping up, and a lot of them are subsidized too. So some, you can even go for free. Like, there are a lot of routes and methods to get to Israel right now if that feels like an important trip for you.
Yeah.
That's so
thanks
awesome.
For listening, guys. Thanks for your support.
So well said, Rick. Thank amazing you for spoken.
Always. It means so much to me. And what I've said to people, it's like you don't have to agree with everything, but like supporting our support of Israel is really, really important right now.
Yeah.
But also you should support Israel too.
And also agree with everything you say.
100%. Yeah, no, agree with everything.
Agree with mostly everything. If I can't have it all. Like, at least, like, don't come for us.
No, like, you know, people get a little into the weeds, but overall, like, they need our support. Their economy and country and just population has been decimated by this. And whatever we can do over here, we shall do.
Little thing that's so crazy. Sorry. A redhead reached out to me. I have family who lives in Israel, and we had dinner together. They live in Jerusalem and outside of Jerusalem. And so we all got together in Jerusalem for dinner. It was so amazing. And a redhead reached out and was like, "Is that Dr. Friedman?" I was like, "You know my uncle." Literally, like knows him because, like, he lives in Israel now, but, like, used to come back to the States a lot. And I was just like, what a small freaking world. This is so cool.
That's really funny. Well, how was everyone else's month, even though we can barely measure up? Snitch, how are you doing? Snitch, it's so wonderful to see you wearing your hair down for us.
Wow, is my hair not? I guess, yeah. No, usually
you never look like this when we record.
You do look stunning.
Like, with your hair down.
Why?
You look just so sweet. Oh my with your
God,
cardigan.
Guys.
You look like a sweet.
Sitting in but your I'm cardigan.
Not sweet. I'm not sweet.
Little do they know.
Yeah. You're not sweet.
I'm not sweet.
So this is just like an April Fool's trick.
Yeah, for sure. But no, I do see what, I do see what you're saying. Like, I do look like nice.
Well, we're recording video for today's podcast. Don't worry. We are not going to start posting the podcast as a video.
No, for sure. But, like, I didn't even do anything
different. But for clips. I'm telling the audience, like, we're going to start doing clips, you guys. Get excited. Like, get hyped.
I didn't even do anything different. I guess maybe I put my hair down.
I think so.
That's really a big one. How was my month? My month was good. What did I do? Oh, I went.
She's getting ready to move.
I'm moving in 2 days. Well, I guess for you guys, it'll be yesterday. And I'm so jealous of that person that has already moved because I'm absolutely dreading it.
Did you feel like in this book when they were talking about the moving of apartments and the different eras of those apartments, could you relate to
there
that?
There was a lot in which I could relate to in the book for sure. Also because like the core power and like all of that.
Core power.
I was just like, okay, is this fucking play about us? But
literally,
So I'm moving in 2 days and I'm very excited to actually move because I love my new apartment. I'm very anxious about it. It's a lot to do, but I'm just looking forward to getting it over with. And then I went to Anguilla on this trip. Oh, I feel like we recorded right before that.
Yeah, when you said you needed a trip, and then we said, like, you're always on a trip. And so now you've been on your trip. How was that?
It was amazing. Oh, my God. It was so nice. Like, never experienced anything like that in terms of, like, ocean water. And, like, the beaches were just, it was the nicest place ever.
And you're ready for your next trip?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Do you need a trip?
I have a next trip.
You feel like you need one?
I have a next trip, but it's a work trip. So does that even count?
No. You need a vacation.
I need a vacation. I'm going to France for 5 days for work.
Whoa.
French snitch. Snitches.
That's so Cassie and her grandma of you.
No, literally. But, like, my grandma's my boss in this scenario.
It's so, actually, I'm sorry, it's so Billy and Jane.
Oh, by the way, Billy and Jane is me with my boss, like, 1,000%.
By the way, Cassie's grandma was her boss, so.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
Yeah. Dana, how was your month?
Oh, it was great. March is my favorite month. Not only was it Ritz's birthday month, but it's March Madness, and I am obsessed with the NCAA tournament. I know it's a really sore subject with Snitch because I begged her to make a bracket, and she did the whole caboodle and didn't click save, so she was booted from the bracket. Like, I gave her money back. It was sad.
I did. Click save.
I believe you, Snitch. It was a technical glitch. Shh. It wasn't your fault.
She was booted from the bracket.
But anyway, based off of the way that March Madness is going, I'm so glad I wasn't in the bracket because
Doing you a favor.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Jackie, I do support your earlier toast acknowledgement that I would have somehow rigged Yahoo. How tight could that security be to have made you one? So, like, next year, it's your year.
Yeah, that's why I didn't participate in time. I forgot to fill out my bracket.
So she knew it would be unfair.
I feel, like, a little left out, honestly, but it's my own doing.
Next year, you guys.
At least you weren't a complete fucking moron like your little sister.
Yeah. No, at least I didn't waste my time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Rit was in Israel, and Jackie knew that if she joined, like, it wouldn't be a fair competition for everyone else. So it was actually really selfless of both of you.
You're welcome.
That's us.
Well, we have a great episode for you guys. My month was great. I actually had a really great month. From a redhead's perspective, because I'm just high on the redheads recently. One, the Instagram. Two, I will cut to the chase. I love this book. And so that was very exciting, and it's very buzzy, and we're just kind of like the name on everybody's lips is the redheads.
Yeah.
So without further ado, let's get into By Baby by Carola Lovering, which was our book this month, and it was a Dana's choice. So it is her responsibility to do the summary.
Okay, everybody. By Baby is about two childhood friends, Cassie Barnwell and Billy West, who were inseparable growing up in their small Hudson Valley hometown, but drift apart in adulthood as their lives go in different directions. Cassie is married to a wealthy hedge fund guy, has a newborn baby named Ella, and is a blossoming social media influencer. Billy does not want children, is newly dating a cop, and tries desperately to maintain a friendship with Cassie. The story is told in alternating perspectives and time periods, taking us through their whole friendship life cycle. One night in high school, Cassie kills Billy's stepfather by impulsively pushing him through the roof after months of him sexually abusing Billy and taking advantage of Billy's sick mom. The friends kept this moment a secret their whole lives, and Cassie's desire to leave her traumatic past behind and reinvent herself as an adult played a big role into her decision to distance herself from Billy, who she viewed as a constant reminder of their complicated past. The crux of the novel is when Billy stops by her coworker's apartment to feed the cat, which coincidentally just so happens to be the unit right below Cassie's apartment. And it's in that moment when Billy discovers that Cassie did not invite her to her 35th birthday party, a rager in full swing right in front of Billy's face. In a fit of rage and hurt and a desire to stop baby Ellis from crying, Billy spontaneously climbs up the fire escape, snatches Cassie's baby out of the stroller, and brings the baby downstairs with her, calming her down but also definitely kidnapping her for a few hours while Cassie hysterically searches for her missing daughter. Billy later returns Ella outside of Cassie's door and flees the scene before anyone can spot her. This sets off a chain of reactions where the trauma of temporarily losing her child causes Cassie to drastically rearrange her priorities, leaning solely on Billy as her support system and returning to their pre-influencer codependent dynamic that the two endured for so many years. Billy is caught between feeling guilty for causing Cassie's despair and feeling euphoric for reclaiming her spot as Cassie's number one confidant. The tension finally bursts when Billy's cop boyfriend Alex puts the pieces together and Billy is forced to come clean. The revelation is a friendship-ending moment, but with it comes a weird sense of peace as Billy and Cassie officially close the chapter on their disordered relationship. The end.
Thank you, Dana. That was very thorough.
Well done, Dee.
Let's start with our overall thoughts on the book, Dana, as it was your choice. Did you like the book?
Oh, you guys, I really like this book. My main endorsement is that it dealt with, like, such common basic themes almost, like friendship, influencership, motherhood. But it injected, like, so much psychological nuance into it that I didn't feel like I was reading a YA book, despite my initial concern that it would be. It's kind of eerie how relatable, like, such basic observations can be. One example that, like, killed me was the scene where Billy runs into Cassie on the street and asks her what her upcoming 35th birthday plans are a month ahead of time, and, like, references her 30th birthday at Bowery Electric and all these, like, kind of embarrassing past memories. And Cassie's caught so off guard at the thirstiness, and she retorts back, like, "God, Billy, is there anything you don't remember?" And that exchange just, like, hit me to the core. It was so real.
That's personal for you.
It was personal. Like, there was so much loaded subtext there. I thought the writing was really simple and easy, but not childish. I flew through the book. I liked how it was our age group mostly. Sorry, Snitch.
It's okay.
And at times I was like, is the author in my brain? There was a reference, you guys, to, like, a Cartier love bracelet that she bought on The Real Real. And I'm like, that's me. Like, I used to think a Cartier love bracelet was called a Theta bracelet because it matched our sorority symbol. And, like, Jackie always sends me Real Real stuff. I did feel like she was in my head a lot of the time. There was even a nod to Lisa Jewell's book at one point.
Yes.
I was like, this is redhead coded. Anyway, glowing review. I did sit with a pit in my stomach the entire second half of the book waiting for the truth to come out. And I thought it was, like, a little stupid, the coincidence of the apartments being right next to each other. But, and, like, Billy so expertly compartmentalizing when she was comforting Cassie, but also knowing it was her fault. That was, like, a little two on the nose, but, you know, you got to make the story work. So I loved it.
Yeah, I'll follow you up because I feel the same way. One, I really enjoyed it, and two, like, I related to so much of it, like, and it was so on the nose. And I was saying this to Claudia on the toast, I personally like reading books about influencers. There's so many great storylines that you can do, but sometimes, like, people get it wrong when they try and, like, mimic the voice of an influencer, how influencers talk, and there's a lot of parody that's there, right, to be made. But if you do it right, like, it's not parody. I felt like the way that she wrote Cassie and the way that Cassie would speak on her Instagram story versus the way she spoke in regular life was so on the nose while not being like overt, you know. She really sounded like a genuine, like, influential influencer. I'm like, I want to try that nightgown out or that Tatcha cream or whatever. So I really liked all of those elements. I loved the elements of motherhood and, like, young motherhood and influencing, and also the relationship aspects and the boyfriends and the husbands and the friendships. Like, I just thought there were so many great storylines. I thought the characters, like you said, were pretty nuanced, and there was meat there, whereas sometimes books like these are pretty surface and someone does exactly what you expect them to do. I really felt like towards the end, I thought Cassie, what was more surprising about Cassie was that she kind of just, like, went right back to her shallow lifestyle, even though she had had a wake-up call. But to her credit, like, it wasn't it was a false alarm, you know? Like, she was never threatened. Her way of life wasn't threatened. It was just Billy. Like, so it was a little crazy that she literally went right back to acting how she was, and that, for me, like, wasn't the happiest of endings. But I really enjoyed, like, reading it and the storyline, and I thought it was great. So, yeah. Becky.
You guys, I hated this book so much.
How?
I could not get through it. I thought it was so bad.
I'm aligned. I am aligned.
Thank
I was
you,
so
snitch.
Scared. I was so scared. Okay.
But, like, what's, I could understand, like, not being obsessed with it because whatever, but to hate, like, what's
hate.
To hate?
I thought it was so dumb. I thought it dragged on for so long. I couldn't believe how It could have been 30% shorter. Like, we went through the same tropes 14 different times in 14,000 different ways. It could not have been more redundant if they tried. I felt like we just went so in depth with their past to, like, an unhealthy level, and then did the exact same thing in the present, and then we went back to the past. And I just felt like it fell flat for me. Like, I wasn't invested in either of them. I thought it was there were plot holes. I thought that there were moments where I was, like, gonna pull my hair out. Like, why would you get your cop boyfriend involved in this case?
Literally.
You know what, Alex? This is a little too close for home. I think it would be best for everybody to keep, like, a separation of church and state for this situation.
Yeah. That would be weird.
I think
it's like you would want to throw everything at the wall. If she were innocent, she'd want to help her friend in any way that she could.
Or she just, like, would be smart and not bring her cop boyfriend around. Like, don't put yourself in a situation.
There were so many situations she brought herself into. Don't wear that hat. You know, it's like,
literally, don't wear the hat.
Where did you think this hat came from? You can't remember 2 weeks ago when you stole your friend's baby wearing this hat as your alibi?
Oh my God, but she didn't think she'd run into Jane.
Doesn't
like those
matter.
Two thickest,
like,
thieves.
Just, like, it doesn't matter.
No,
just, like, don't.
One thing for me is, like, I feel like Alex was the world's worst cop, literally, until Jane is in front of him, like, with the hat. Yeah. He's like, I put it together then. I'm like, okay, like, you put what together when they told
literally.
You it was her? He should have put it together when he saw the hat in the closet, because he's been watching all the
right.
surveillance footage.
Yeah.
Also, like, wasn't there footage of her walking into the building at a certain time?
The footage thing was incredibly confusing to me.
The footage thing was so confusing. I'm sorry. You said that you pored over this footage. You went back and forth over this footage, and you knew that your girlfriend was home sick with a migraine, but then she's in the footage?
Also,
she should
you
be
know
in the
what?
Footage.
I
yeah.
was waiting for the other foot to drop, because, like, they made sure to mention this. When she got to the building, she was in the elevator with someone's
yeah.
husband.
Yeah.
And so I kept waiting for them to be like, we're interviewing everyone who came to the party. And for this guy mm-hmm. to be like, oh, I was in the elevator with a girl that's unaccounted for. Nope.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I felt like there were quite a few plot holes. I thought the New York references were incredibly basic, talking
okay.
about Westville and
Core Power.
Fiddlesticks and Core Power.
Yeah.
Like, come on, like, do one more iota of research and don't do Westville. Like, that's truly the most basic New York reference you could find. That's, like, not.
Also,
I don't know, McDonald's.
I hate with a passion when books, like, try to be, like, relevant and cool and use, like, modern day, like, examples. So, like, when I hear people, like, they're doing, like, the yoga sculpt, 8 a.m. Core Power, like, that doesn't make me happy. I'm like, ew, like, stop. Like, I read a book because I don't want to think about my life. And, like, it was a little too on the nose. Like, I hate when things are modern. And I know that was a question that you were going to ask. So that really bothered me. Also, I was just not invested in anyone's stories, like, at all. And I didn't, like, have anyone to root for, because, like, I definitely wasn't rooting for Cassidy. And I, like, wasn't rooting for Billy, even though if I felt bad for anyone in the story, it was her. Like, I know she kidnapped someone's baby, but, like, I, like, felt bad for her. Like, I don't know. Like, Cassie seemed like a shit. So, like, I don't know. It was an easy read, so I don't agree. Like, it wasn't, like, painful to read. Like, I feel like it went by quickly, but
I don't think
no
it
means
went by quickly at all. I don't know what it was about it. It felt like I was never getting through this book, and I was pretty shocked. I was like, why does it feel like it's so long? And maybe it was the anxiety piece. Like, waiting for the other shoe to drop was really painful for me. Like, it was a palpable anxiety that I was like, I really, like, am not enjoying myself reading this book. Like,
no,
it is
like,
painful.
I have enough anxiety in my everyday
Wait,
life.
Wait, what's the anxiety?
Just waiting.
We knew at least it wasn't, like, a psychological thriller where we don't know. Like, we knew everything the whole time. So just waiting for Cassie
yes.
to find
yes.
out?
Yeah. It was painful.
Wow. I'm shook. I could not disagree more.
Yeah, me too. Like, I can't imagine. I can't see
I agree with
painful.
The plot hole in the footage.
I could see,
yes.
And also, like, if you're not into, like, this storyline or modern references or, like, reading a book that is pretty close to home, then, yeah, then it's not for you. But, like, I thought it was just, like, light, girly reading with universal themes for girlies like us. GLU.
Girlies like us.
Girlies like us.
I don't want to be bucketed in with the girlies like us.
Wow.
I said it.
Girlies right. like us, we've got to
stick
together.
Keep your head up.
In my forever.
Also, Jane can't get an apartment. She can't even afford a studio. Miraculously, she finds an apartment in Cassie's Gramercy Park luxury building, the creme de la creme of the most elite people in old money USA. And for whatever reason, Jane's unit is underneath Cassie's. Like, I'm sorry. It's just too much.
Yeah, well, that was just central to the plot. They could have made it make more sense. Like, for whatever reason, they wind up in the same building. But that's the story doesn't work without that.
Yeah.
So now you know.
Okay, let's get into the DBQs so we can flesh it out. I need to let you know, though, that today's episode is brought to you by Caraway. We are Caraway girlies like us here at the Redheads. I love everything about Caraway. I love every product that I've ever received from Caraway, and I just tell everyone that I know that they have to shop Caraway. Caraway is non-toxic cookware. They are products made without any toxic materials like PFAs, PTFE, PFOA, or other hard-to-pronounce chemicals. The cooking is easy and the cleaning is easier. Their naturally slick surface means minimal oil or butter for slide-off-the-pan eggs and easy cleaning. Over 65,000 people have rated 5 stars about their Caraway kitchen, including 4 people here. 5 stars across the board. I personally love Caraway. Like they said, it's easy to clean, but for me, the non-toxicity of it is key. I cook all of my baby food in my Caraway pots and pans. I use my Caraway steamer. I use my Caraway knife set, and just knowing that it's non-toxic, I feel great about feeding my kids food from Caraway, and I just want them to take over my whole kitchen. I need Caraway counters next. But if you want to try Caraway, a reminder is that their iconic cookware set comes with a saute pan, fry pan, Dutch oven, and saucepan, plus lids for all of them, a canvas lid holder, and magnetic pan rack for storage. So yeah, they've also figured out how to store pans in small places, and that's a major key. It's the ultimate kitchen setup and will save you $150 versus buying the items individually. Plus, if you visit carawayhome.com/redheads10, you can take an additional 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for our listeners, so visit carawayhome.com/redheads10 or use code REDHEADS10 at checkout. Again, REDHEADS10. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern. Today's episode is also brought to you by OneSkin. In the spirit of self-care, today's sponsor, OneSkin, is here to help you simplify your skincare regimen. Founded by 4 PhDs dedicated to skin longevity, it's giving 4 redheads, honestly. OneSkin proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their topical supplements make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without all the extra steps. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS01 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent cells, those notorious zombie cells that contribute to skin aging. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their OneSkin purchase using code REDHEADS when you check out at oneskin.co. Invest in the health and longevity of your skin with OneSkin. I just want to say, I feel like OneSkin, it's such an amazing product, especially for anti-aging and just overall skin wellness. I feel like it's a product Cassidy would endorse and like.
Totally.
100%. I'm channeling my inner Cassie when I do this ad. So OneSkin is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off. It's for girlies like us, really.
Girlies like us.
Get 15% off using code REDHEADS at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code REDHEADS. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please show our support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. Thank you to our sponsors. We love you dearly.
Love you dearly.
Our first question. In their friendship dynamic, Billy is painted as desperate and obsessive, while Cassie is portrayed as snobby and dismissive. Who did you relate to more? Were any of their actions warranted?
This is actually why I loved the book, because I thought the author did an incredible job of painting the truth. Like, when we switched perspectives from Cassie to Billy to Cassie, I never felt like someone was being honest and someone was being dishonest. Like, their stories matched up. It was just about perspectives. And I felt torn on allegiances. Like, there were times where I was so turned off by Billy's pathetic text to Cassie and, like, her nightly ritual of making fun of her Instagrams. But then I also felt, like, deeply sympathetic to Billy for trying so hard when Cassie so wasn't. And she, like, wasn't even trying to be malicious. She was genuinely just not thinking about Billy and was busy with friends that were more aligned with her life stage at that moment. So, like, the most black and white thing was Billy was insane for not coming clean after 2 weeks of Cassie spiraling and her like pretending that she didn't know. But besides yeah, that's sort of that,
sociopathic yeah. behavior, like nothing that any of them did to the other yes. during this time was like evil. It was just like inconsiderate. And Cassie is a social climber and she's shallow. But one, she's always been that way. Like, yes. why are you surprised when the person you knew turns out to be the person you thought she was? Billy stealing a baby and then like getting brought into the inner circle and watching this girl lose yeah. her mind yeah. and like meanwhile you know the truth and you could just like release her of all of this and that's your best friend. Psychotic behavior. So even though Cassie was the more wrong up until that point, like mm-hmm. the most wrong, she really like was gaslighting Billy in a sense, like letting her, not telling her why they're not close, but not treating her like a best friend whatsoever. Even though Cassie was wrong, like Billy then became the most wrong.
Yes.
More wrong than anyone. So yeah, I feel like I really liked Cassie, honest. I mean, like, duh. Like, first of all, the influencer stuff, like I said, was cute. And I actually really liked her approach to motherhood. I felt like she was a really good and loving and caring mom. And, like, that really came through. Like, anytime she had a thought or something, it just always came back to her daughter. Like, she could be like, oh, this is the – she didn't say this, but, like, oh, this is so – the happiest day. She could, except for when I – like, everything was like, but Ella, or this with Ella. And, like, I just thought that was really cute and that was really
– genuine.
Genuine, and you could really feel. And I feel like even the stuff with all the breastfeeding, like, the relief she had when she, like, would have hands on her baby and just, like, be able to, like, bond with her physically like that. Like, I totally related to it. And overall, like, I was cheering a little more for Cassie than I was for Billy. But I don't think that will surprise anyone.
Yeah.
I agree. I liked how there was moments where Cassie, I felt like I really understood. And then Billy, at some moments, I was like, you have a point and I'm aligned with your perspective. I think for sure Billy lost all credibility. And there was a moment where she was like, this is the moment I could just explain myself. And she explained it literally so perfectly that I was like, I would even forgive you, I think, if yeah. you said this out loud. Like, lady, just do it. Like, and I understand why it's so complicated and like why she chickened out, but it felt like it could have been salvaged up until she literally made Cassie run through the ringer of like hell and back and hell and back. And so for that reason, I was like, listen. But I also think at the same time, Cassie easily could have sat Billy down and been like, listen, like, we are at two different points in our life. And I'm so sorry. I've been a pretty cruel friend to you. But I just want to be honest with you. Like, this is where my head's at. And like, I see you're texting and I feel guilty. And like, let me just come clean about like where my head is at right now at this stage of my life. I have women who I'm closer with because they're in the same stage as I am. I don't have that connection with you right now. And like, we had that connection up until this point and we'll potentially have it again in the future. But like, just hear me.
But I think for Cassie, it's like, how do you push someone away, you know, consciously, like tell her go away when you have literally killed someone together? I think that was always hanging over her head. Like, I don't want to upset Billy too much because I think she just felt this guilt.
Yeah.
I don't really just, like, see it that way. That's interesting. Her. Like, I never thought that, like, Cassie was holding on to the friendship with Billy because of the Wade, like, her thinking that Billy would potentially use that as leverage in a future situation.
I think that, and I also think Cassie was, like, 100% textbook codependent person, depended on Billy for, what, 10, 15 years, like no other. And then when she met Grant, mm-hmm. depended on Grant like that. And even as her marriage started to wade, no pun intended, she depends on McKay. Like, she always has a person. But I think that she doesn't want to lose anyone who she's past depended on because she might need them again, which she did. Like, I feel like she didn't want to cut the tie with Billy because she knew there could be a time when she would need her. Like, say her and Grant divorced and McKay is his cousin, like, she's back to being the girl from Red Hook and she would need Billy. Yeah.
And Billy, I wish, just had more confidence to realize that she was being pathetic and knowing that it was not her time and maybe again in the future it could be, as you said, Rit. But, like, that was never getting her anywhere. The text, the immediate responses, the stalking. Yeah. It was just like, you gotta do less.
There was also, I was just waiting for the, like, time when it was like, Billy realizes she's in love with Cassie. But that never happened.
That's funny. No, I didn't feel that way. But it's like, what's there to do? This girl, these are her priorities. And this is always what they've been. There's no even, like, sitting down with her and being like, what about me? Like, she, like, this is what she's always wanted. She used you. Mm-hmm. And she didn't even try and hide it.
Yeah. But I think motherhood was actually the big impetus, because even when Cassie was at Harvard and meeting these girls, like, she invited Billy in. She wanted her to come every weekend, stay in her twin bed.
But that's because they didn't accept her. Yeah. And I'm sure if McKay wanted to be her best friend, she wouldn't have been calling Billy up every weekend. But she needed her.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It wasn't necessarily motherhood. It was McKay accepting her and being her maid of honor, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next question. The book setting was extremely modern day. We saw references to Melissa Woodhull, Zac Brown Band, trendy restaurants, the Comedy Cellar, not trendy enough, apparently. How did this impact your experience with the book?
It impacted it heavily in a negative way.
In a negative way.
It was a little cheesy for me, frankly. I would have liked a little bit more niche references.
That's so funny. Maybe I'm just basic. This was one of my favorite parts of the book. Like, everything I saw, I'm like, oh my God, Bobo is a restaurant we go to all the time. Like, the Comedy Cellar is my favorite place in the city. Rit and I live near the West Village, so it was, like, so pertinent, but I was getting off on it. I was like, I know that place, but I think I'm just, like, not city savvy.
I didn't feel like the references were so basic. I felt like even Core Power, like, that's not, like, Sitch, I feel like that's relatively new that you go to that, and that's, like, the cool workout right now. Like, Melissa Wood, yeah, it's not like they were saying, like, SoulCycle.
SoulCycle wouldn't have bothered me as much. Because,
oh, SoulCycle would have been, like, so corny. Not that
it's, like, cool, but it's just, like, it's a staple. Like, it's been around forever, like, whatever.
Right, but these moms are doing the workout of the moment.
Yes, yeah.
No, Dana, I saw, we were together this weekend, and she was, like, these references, how amazing. And I was like, I have to save my commentary for the episode. But I just didn't connect to them at all. I think it was because it was so Westville forward that I was like, this is really, like, triggering for me.
I also love being in my comfort zone. And I think the, like, stark whiplash of the 18th century frozen river to, like, my backyard, I was like, oh my God, I recognize this. Like, home is back.
I can see that.
Yeah. Next question. Throughout their lives, it seems like Billy is always dropping everything to appease Cassie. She bails on her friend Ashton's party to go to Paris with Cassie. She ditches Northeastern every weekend to visit Cassie at Harvard. She misses out on high school parties to stay in and watch Dirty Dancing with Cassie. Most of this is justified by Cassie's sacrifice of killing Billy's abusive stepdad. What did you think of this imbalance?
I actually felt like this imbalance started way before the stepdad murder.
Agreed,
Like, from the day Cassie saw her at the pool, Billy was smitten with, like, the new hot girl who came from Greenwich and would do anything for her. I think for the most part, they did need each other, at least in the beginning. Like, it was extremely codependent. Billy loved being needed by Cassie, but Cassie really did need Billy, and Billy at times really did need Cassie. I thought it was interesting how Billy, like, reframed history at the end of the novel to recall her dad's step words, who insulted Cassie's character right before Cassie pushed him. And Billy had this revelation, like, she didn't push him for me, she pushed him for herself. And I don't know how much I buy that. Like, I think when friendships evolve so heavily, it's easy to rewrite narratives to fit your own, like, schema. But I thought for the most part they actually needed each other until life changed so much that it no longer applied to Cassie.
Yeah, and, like, Cassie's been insulted throughout her life. She never killed anyone other than the person who was abusing her best friend.
Yeah.
So I think that that was a little bit of a cop-out, and I don't think the truth either. Because even when they had that argument about Grant flirting with Jane and Billy calls her a gold digger, if you really wanted to drive home that point, like, she could have gotten physical in that moment with Billy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought it was a cop-out. And I thought, like, Billy so readily and easily cowed to Cassie's demands that Cassie wasn't even such a bad guy because it came like that. You know, Cassie wasn't demanding things of her that she really didn't want to do but felt an obligation. It's like Billy wanted to do all of those things.
Yeah, even when she was asking her to, like, ditch stuff with Alex in present time.
Yes.
She could have pushed back harder, and Cassie should have made her own life more of – I mean, Billy should have made her own life more of a priority throughout the years, but especially when things are starting to get good for her.
Yeah.
I know. I was kind of, in a way, like, sad that she met Alex when she did, because if Billy was, like, I mean, if Cassie was, like, come back into my life and she had, like, no one pulling her away, I was like, that's, like, really what you want more than anything, is just to be, like, at her beck and call with nothing else coming between you guys. But now you have this man.
Yeah, this, but honestly, like, getting... I thought I was waiting for her to, like, drop Alex the second that Cassie came back into her life. Like, I'm shocked that she still, like, even wanted to see him.
Yeah, well, she also was dating Remy pretty much the entire time, 7 years of their friendship. So that dynamic works for her, where, like, she has a pocket of personal fulfillment and then can spend the rest of her time up Cassie's butt.
Yeah.
Billy's boyfriend, Alex, is very understanding and forgiving of Billy's drop everything and help Cassie attitude until she ditches their Comedy Cellar date to go to the Mayflower with Cassie. Do you think Alex was justified in his anger? Should he have gotten angrier sooner?
This was actually a little unbelievable to me in terms of plot holes. He was, like, too perfect. He understood everything. He got her immediately. He dismissed all, like, Cassie-related craziness. Like, he went over to Cassie's apartment during the dinner party after she kind of ghosted him on their date. And then again, like, he was very, very perfect. I was ecstatic when he got angry with her when she ditched for the Mayflower. It was like, enough is enough. You're being a huge bitch.
I thought she owed him a phone call at the very least. For her to text him being like, hey, sorry, can't make it. I thought that was pretty cruel. And so, and a little unrealistic, shocker. And so I was like, I'm not shocked that now this is like a breaking point.
Yeah. Next question. During Cassie's wedding, Billy discovers that Grant's sister, McKay, has been selected as maid of honor over her. Grant's cousin. Who wrote these questions? No, I'm kidding. The best question writer wrote them. She realizes that, quote, Cassie isn't mine. She's never belonged to anyone but herself. Is this an oversimplification? What did you think of maid of honor gate?
I thought it was so unbelievably hurtful. I could not believe she selected McKay instead of Billy. This is like your literal sister. Like, you have grown up together. You have been breathing each other's same oxygen for 99% of, like, your adult life, like, since, like, they were tweens. And in the last 6 months, year, whatever it has been that they were dating, like, this other girl starts treating you with a modicum of respect, because in Harvard she treated you like total trash. And it's just like, you're really gonna, like, your allegiances are gonna flip so quickly. Like, I just think of, like, the maid of honor position, like, if it's not going to be your true, like, blood sister, it's like the person who has known you so long, who has seen you grow up, who has seen you in multiple stages of life. And that, like, it's one thing if you don't have that person in your life. It's another thing if you do have that person in your life and then you don't choose that person. Like, that is so hurtful. That really, really struck a chord with me. I don't know why.
No, I completely agree.
You just made it compelling. Especially the 1 year thing. They were dating for a year before they got married. So, like, this girl has 1 year of close friendship with Cassie over the 15 years that Billy has.
I completely agree. This really hit hard. The only thing is, like, Billy felt a little naive to show up there, see it for the first time, and be like, oh my God. Like, by the time of the wedding, you should kind of be aware that you're not the maid of honor and have that reaction earlier and not be, like, bawling during the ceremony over it. And, like, also Billy put so much emphasis on past conversations. Like, she said I would be her maid of honor in seventh grade. It's like, Cassie probably doesn't even remember that. Doesn't mean she shouldn't have made her it, but, like, Billy was a little too much living in the past.
I totally agree. And I think Billy has to take some responsibility, too. She knew that Cassie was getting married. She could have easily approached Cassie and say, hey, you're my most important friend. I would love to give a speech at your rehearsal dinner, at the ceremony. What, like, how can I be involved to show you how much I care on your wedding day?
But yeah. Cassie would have said, go away. Like, I don't want any. If I wanted it, I would ask. If I wanted to, I would.
I think Cassie, though, owed her a conversation. Hey, you're not my maid of honor, and this is why.
Owed her a conversation. But that ain't Cassie. This book, a major theme in this book is, like, relationships in your 20s and how they translate in your 30s. And then, like, the new relationships that you find in your 30s. I was looking at Carola, Miss Lovering's Instagram. And I guess a few years ago, she wrote a piece on that theme and then felt the need to expand on it in a book. And I feel like that is very real. And it's, like, a sad but necessary thing that might happen between friendships if people are just moving on different tracks, or you become friends with some people in your 20s, like in your party years, that they're not going to be your best friend in your 30s. And, like, that sort of untangling from those friendships, it can be awkward. And yeah, even people who might have at one point been in your wedding party but then aren't in your wedding party when the time comes, or people who were in your wedding party who 10 years later are like, why was that person in my wedding party? Like, these are very real things. And I mean, to the degree that these two were close, and then how Cassie just really severed ties in a short period of time is pretty cruel, but it's not something that doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah, but maid of honor in particular, I agree, Rich, should go to the oldest friend, and they're still in touch. They didn't have a falling out per se. It was just, like, strained and awkward. It was hard. It was hard to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like after that, I mean, the thing is, if Billy were a self-respecting person, then it would be like, oh, fuck you, bitch.
Yes.
Like, goodbye. That, like, she just accepted this treatment and, like, kept trying to crawl her way back.
1,000%.
But while also, like, seeing herself as better than Cassie, like, you know, clowning on her Instagram and just, like, clowning on her life choices and her new friends, and who actually, like, this is kind of this weird thing about the book. It's like her new friends are shallow and they're the kind of the bad guys, but McKay's kind of the one that saves the day.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, and it was even in the aftermath of the kidnapping, I thought, of course, Billy's approach was better. She was just kind of indulging Cassie in whatever she wanted. Like, you don't have to eat. You don't have to sleep. Like, let's just watch movies and ignore our phones. And because that's what Cassie needed in the moment. But like, McKay was trying to be helpful. Yeah, she was being annoying. But like, that's kind of more of a friend who's like, no, I'm going to bring you food and we're going to talk about it. And like, we're going to heal you and not just like keep you in this dark place.
Yeah.
Even though overall, like Billy, like net, you know, neutral good versus evil in this book, like on the spectrum, Billy's on the good side and McKay is not. But the end roundup is not that.
Very well said. Like, very, really good point.
And that was kind of the plot twist of the book a little bit.
But even when the end conclusion by Cassie was like, all along it was McKay, like she was really my best friend, I still disagreed with that. Like, that's not my takeaway of McKay in terms of like, yeah, all along it was McKay. No, like McKay was a bitch. Nope. But
this just really worked out for McKay.
Yes, yeah. McKay came out a hero.
I also don't mind that McKay and Cassie and this group of women have like more shallow interests. Like, there is a lid for every pot. Like, they are allowed to have interests that don't appeal to every group, and that's just how people evolve. They happen to all like run in similar circles where those interests intersect, and so yeah, it didn't bother me so much. I was just like, listen, like, you guys are growing out of each other and we need to honor that and move forward.
The two lingering questions that I have are, why did McKay treat Cassie at Harvard the way that she treated her? Like, was it just because, like, she wasn't, you know, Greenwich stock? And but sometimes she would bring her in and sometimes she would leave her out. I think that's just kind of, like, typical mean girl behavior. My bigger question is, why did McKay want her cousin to be with Cassie? Why did she set them up at that point?
I know. That's true.
I thought that,
especially if she, because if Cassie wasn't even good enough to be in her like circle of friends, she's good enough to marry your cousin.
We never got like the arc of their friendship.
I would have loved a chapter from McKay.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like, Jackie, McKay is like you.
Oh, I don't feel that way at all. I felt like, you know, on the surface, I'm was more similar to Cassie.
No, yeah, you are not McKay, and I agree. It was confusing why McKay immediately...
You're McKay, bitch. You're motherfucking McKay.
You're motherfucking McKay.
You're McKay.
I'm happy to be McKay. She was right.
It's true.
Yeah, honestly, not a bad person to be.
Wait, by the way, McKay's fantastic. She lives an amazing life. I'm happy to be McKay. Are you kidding?
Okay.
McKay.
Okay. Also, never mind.
No, we can talk about how it's a weird name.
Yeah. But, like, it's one of our listeners named McKay. I don't know.
Well,
is
if it is,
Michaela?
I'm sorry.
Is it short for Michaela?
Because in a that little case.
Kaler?
Michaela. Okay, great. Anyone have any additional thoughts on McKay and the evolution of friendship from your 20s into your 30s?
No, I think we did a great job there.
I have nothing to share yet. Give me a few years.
Do you feel things changing?
Oh, like, was really that a little ageism I hear?
Yeah, I feel like for Snitch, like, this was kind of book about olds.
No, it was just like book about pits, like things to look forward to.
Oh, things to worry about?
Yeah.
A book about hags.
Oh, that's so interesting. Next question. Billy's friend Jane reveals that she used to work with Cassie's now husband Grant and highlights moments of Grant being a sleazeball and hitting on Jane while in a relationship. Billy feels an obligation to tell Cassie what she learned, and Cassie gets angry, saying, "You're obsessed with me, Billy. You want to be the one, the only one who loves me, and you don't want me to love anyone else." Billy retorts that Cassie is a gold digger. Who's right? Should Billy have told Cassie about Grant? Yes, 100% she should have told Cassie about
100%.
Grant. That's not a friend if you don't tell information that you have on your friend's new man.
I actually appreciated, though, how then Cassie came back later and was like, look, I confronted him. He admitted to hitting on Jane. It's different now. He's with me. Like, he is so drunk at these parties and he's a close talker. Like, Both can be true, you know? She should have told her and he was a sleazeball, but he could have also changed for Cassie.
I agree, but you just need to know all the... Like, if there are facts out there and your best friend knows, like, she needs to tell Cassie. But I, when Cassie, like, brought it back to Billy and was like, I spoke about it, like, he was like that then, that was enough for me.
Yeah.
Rebecca, were you going to disagree on her telling?
Sometimes I do disagree. I'm always, like, ignorance is bliss. Like, she saw how happy Cassie was, and... It felt like this was years in the past. I think you're right, though. It's worth sharing up front. Like, they weren't engaged. They weren't married. And it's, like, early enough that it's, like, just have all the information in front of you. Do with it what you will. But, like, if Cassie's in, if Billy's intention was for Cassie to break up with him over it, I don't agree with that. I do agree with her sharing. And I actually definitely respect Cassie for being, like, I'll take this information and actually go do some fact-checking. And we will reconvene. So I thought it was handled appropriately.
I feel like it was a plus in Cassie's column that she actually did confront Grant about it, because, you know, she was kind of like so desperate for this marriage that she could have just not said anything, but she's not that much of a doormat.
And maybe if, like, the story was just that years ago he was a client and hit on her, or the story was just that he was talking close to her at a party and, like, flirting with her, those alone might not have held enough weight, but the combination, it's probably useful to tell her about.
Agreed. Next, what did you think of Jane's agreement to cover for Billy's alibi about having a migraine instead of cat-sitting the night she kidnapped Ella? Is Jane a good friend or an idiot for breaking the law?
I think she's a good friend that, like, made, like, I don't know. Also, obviously, I know that what Billy, what?
You guys, like, she took someone's baby.
No, I know, but I still feel bad for her. I can't explain it. I'm an empath.
I did think Jane was a real one throughout the book, and Billy should have invested way more time in that friendship than, like, stalking Cassie every night. And
yeah,
maybe
what's
Jane
crazy is Billy had other friends that were good friends to her.
Yeah, that was, like, the annoying part, that she invested so much dead time with Cassie when she had great people in her life. I think maybe when Jane got that call and, like, heard the story, she didn't understand the gravity of, like, taking the baby. So she was like, yeah, you're my BFF. I kind of hate Cassie. Like, I've got you. And then as it unfolded, she might have been like, whoa, this is, like, the police are involved. What did I do? But yeah, she did literally kidnap someone's baby, and it was illegal, and Cassie was spiraling and Jane was covering for her. It was probably, like, not her best judgment call.
I agree with what you just shared. Was there ever, sorry, like a different question. Did you ever think that there was a moment where Billy was going to actually take the baby for real and, like, not return the baby right away?
In the beginning, when the book opened with
when
this
we didn't
kidnapping,
know her. Yeah.
I thought it was way more dramatic.
But while it was happening, when she, like, realized that, like, okay, like, she has this baby, the baby, like, starts crying, like, I was like, oh my God, like, if you leave this apartment with this baby right now, like, what is, like, this is insane.
When she started to be like, babies drink milk, right? And went into the fridge to look for milk.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I did not think she would actually leave the building with the baby.
Me
especially
either.
Because the scene was described so emphatically as, like, in a fit of almost a blackout rage. It felt so impulsive that, like, she didn't have a long-term plan. But yeah, it was bad.
It was so bad.
Yeah. And she doesn't want a baby.
Can we talk about that? Because we never really even got, like, a reason as to why she felt
we'll
that
get
way.
To that as a question, but the irony is that she felt such maternal instinct to take this crying baby and
no,
calm
that's
her down.
Not what
oh,
it
she's
was.
She's so full of shit. She's full of shite.
You think that was maternal instinct, Dana? No way.
No, but that was her, like, excuse. Like, the baby crying was just grating on my last nerve. Like, this baby I needed to take.
The Instagram pictures were grating on her last nerve. I also think, to Snitch's point about we never got, like, understanding of why she didn't want kids, I think it was meant to be, like, an overall statement on the fact that women who don't want kids shouldn't have to explain or have a reason, and that just some women don't want children.
Yeah.
Next question. Shortly after Cassie learns that Billy was the one who kidnapped her daughter, she lets her guard down and resumes her Instagram lifestyle. What do you think of this? Should more lessons have been learned? I do think more lessons should have been learned. I think she should have almost taken this whole thing as a lesson. Like, you know, it made her so much more focused on her family and her daughter and taking time away from her phone. And she was admittedly, like, a phone addict. So that was a bummer to see.
Yeah, I do think, though, it's very real. Like, that is how most people would be. They get high off of the likes and the dopamine hits that come with posting. And, like, she didn't really take into account that even though Billy was responsible, it could have been more dangerous. It could have been a follower.
Agreed. Yeah. That's how I felt as well. I felt like she had all of these revelations. She was like, how could I have been so irresponsible? Telling them every detail of my life. They know where I live, essentially. Like, I didn't give them my apartment number, but, like, you can figure it out based on context clues. And she was very, very detailed in her life to her following. And so it was definitely shocking. But then at the same time, like, she built this following. She was super passionate about it before the kidnapping. It was giving her a lot of joy. It was fueling a lot of purpose. And I wasn't shocked that she fell back into it once she was like, okay, like, the threat has been removed.
No, I didn't feel like she needed to, like, stop, but maybe, like, just change her
strategy.
You know, pull back, like, share, like, maybe then focus on the store, not as much on the personal life. Like, just shift a little bit and shift priorities. And, like, you can be an influencer posting a lot of, like, you could post half the amount of stories that you follow. Like, it could be more about the business and less about your personal life, which is what Grant had been saying. Did anyone else think Grant was about to go into financial ruin, just like Cassidy's dad? I thought that's where the story was going.
No, but I thought he was so right. He's like, let me see the damn financials. All you do is post your, like, lifestyle stuff and nothing about the store, and I'm paying for this bitch. She's like, it's our money. He's like, not really.
I thought he kept asking because he was, like, going bankrupt, and then it was going to be a situation that she's just like her dad and they had to move from, you know, Greenwich lifestyle. And
that's the sequel.
Yeah. Okay, last question. Billy's first relationship with Remy ends because Billy admits she does not want children. This experience prevents Billy from opening up to future prospects. What do you think of Billy's guilt from the breakup? Is it justified, or is there mutual blame to be shared?
Well, she did dodge the question every time he brought it up, and that was not that cool, knowing where his allegiance was. But I think he could have had a higher EQ and taken a hint that this was not something that she had ever, like, endorsed, and maybe more directly broached the topic. Also, why the jump immediately to kids, and, like, he never really asked about engagement or marriage? Like, that weirded me out.
Yeah, I guess his crime is not having higher EQ, but what blame would be for him? The fact that he wasn't even open to her way of life. I feel like that's something that's just like,
no, it's a deal breaker.
There's no getting around it if one person wants and the other person doesn't.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
I just wish that she were more vocal about her past and how it impacts her future, because, like, she had a very real, like, pretty upsetting history that I think contributed a lot to her decision as to why she doesn't want to have kids. And I just thought that she maybe owes it to herself and to Remy to talk about it.
But, again, goes back to Snitch's question. We didn't really get an answer to why she didn't want children. Like, did it have to do with Wade or with what happened to her mom? Because I don't think that it did, because she kept saying, I just don't have maternal instinct. Like, that's just not me.
I don't know.
I don't think that's something that she once had that she's lost because of what happened. I think the author was just making a statement about, like, women who don't want children, they just don't want children. And, like, that's fine.
I think I would have appreciated maybe, like, a little bit more on that topic. Like, maybe, but maybe, honestly, like, the author doesn't know how to answer it. So perhaps that was intentional.
Just kind of left it open-ended.
And at that point with Remy, I think she had Cassie's voice in her head. It'll happen for you one day. It's going to click. It's all going to click. And she was holding out hope that maybe that maternal instinct would enter her life and she would change her mind. By the time she met Alex, she was more self-assured in her conviction that she did not want kids. With Remy, I think she was more insecure about whether it could change or not.
Yeah, but I do think that that's a conversation in any relationship that you need to have before 7 years.
Yes, and his crime is not
your serious partner.
Yeah, his crime is not breaking up with her for it, because it's a deal breaker if that's what he wants. His crime, I guess, is, like, not anticipating it sooner, given her reticence. But
yeah, and not broaching the subject sooner because it was clearly important to him.
Yes.
Another question from the book. So we find out that Billy has an abortion into her relationship with Remy, and she doesn't tell him until the end of the relationship. So a few years later. Thoughts.
I don't think she needed to tell him. Her body, her choice.
I know. I just think if she were going to tell him, she should have told him when it happened. But randomly bringing it up now, that's my point.
I agree with that. But to not to do it and not tell him when you're doing it. Of course, it's ultimately her choice. Yeah. But they're in a long-term relationship. Like, I do think that your partner has a right to know whatever you are going to do.
Yeah.
And the fact that you could do that and not tell them and then carry on with a relationship when it's such a big thing.
Yeah. You know what I need? I need Billy's ability to compartmentalize.
I was going to say. Yeah. No, she is literally like master. She does these things and then carries on.
Honestly, it's so impressive.
But do you think that comes from her trauma?
Maybe. Yeah, for sure. Because even like in those weeks when Wade had started abusing her and she wasn't telling Cassie, like, she had compartmentalized it then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the implication is that it comes from her trauma, but I do agree, Jax, that the lack of motherly instinct is not necessarily correlated to her trauma. That might just be how she always been.
I agree with, that's how I feel about the book. But, yeah, those were the questions we got. I feel like we got into the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
Now for the redhead questions. Hi, redheads. I was curious if you guys agreed with the no harm, no foul retribution that Billy earns at the end of the book. Like, I'm seriously questioning the sanity of her cop boyfriend if he's just going to forgive some mild kidnapping. But maybe we're all entitled to a midlife crisis.
No, I kind of think the punishment of losing your oldest friend was enough.
Yeah.
Like, you can kind of see how it happened. Her crime was not coming clean sooner. I almost forgive her for taking the baby if she had that night explained everything and how she was feeling about being rejected from the party. But I don't think they needed to take it further legally.
No, I'm glad that they didn't. But also, like, she had one on Cassie. Like, they're even though Cassie did kill for her. But still.
But then we realized that Cassie killed for Cassie.
We don't realize that's Cassie, Billy rewriting Cassie history.
Yeah. Cassie
killed
yeah.
Cassie. I don't think Cassie killed for Cassie. Cassie killed
No.
Cassie killed for Cassie.
I think Cassie killed for Billy, and Billy is reframing it to fit her current situation.
To make her feel better, yeah.
But I think Wade worked her up, got her angry.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think she was going to shove him over some mean words.
Agreed. I'm just being annoying.
Next, loved how realistic Billy and Cassie were. Can you think of any real-world Cassie characters, Instamom influencers, who seem to have the perfect life?
Like, all of them.
Everyone.
Yeah, that's the point.
You. Like, what do you mean?
You, Snitch.
Jackie-o.
You, McKay.
You, McKay. Yeah, no, that's, like, what they do. That's no one's, like, wants to watch a shit show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally all of them.
But I feel like every, you know, conscious, like, social media follower has that understanding that, like, the person that they're following is showing the best of their day.
Yeah.
And then has, like one mini breakdown, like, a year, and is like, it's not all sunshine.
No, I think they have one breakdown a day. Yeah. Oh, but they come on and do a public
totally.
Breakdown.
No, the public breakdown annually. The private breakdown daily.
But, like, even a long Instagram story is what, like, 4 minutes out of a 24-hour day? Like, that's just not how things are all the time. And I think most people get that. It's just fun to watch. It's entertainment.
Correct.
Are you not entertained? Next. This person found themselves very bored of the Cassie is too cool to be my friend, why is Billy so obsessed with me friendship plot. It felt so immature and unrealistic to have a baby kidnapped over a birthday party. Did anyone else feel like there was something missing? The last fourth of the book was anticlimactic.
I thought the opposite. I thought it was so climatic. I was on edge waiting for, like, Cassie to find out. I love the dynamic. The reason I love this book is because it felt deep to me, all these relationships. So, no, I didn't think it was underwhelming.
Yeah, I didn't feel that way either, but other two might.
It sort of did feel a little immature to me. Like, it felt, like, all kind of unbelievable and a little overplayed and just, like, chaotic and frustrating to watch unfold. I thought it was, like, so unbelievable. Like, exactly, like, climbing up the fire escape, being in the apartment underneath the apartment that's having the party, going there the night of the party that you weren't invited to. Like, it was all so insane. I was like, what am I reading?
Yeah.
It was convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last question. Was anyone else underwhelmed by Cassie's and the boyfriend's reactions to Billy's confession?
I think they were, like, so emotionally drained leading up to the confession that, like, when the confession finally happened, you were just like, lay it on me. Like, what else am I about to experience?
Yeah, no, I think, like, I definitely expected, like, a bigger blowout from both ends.
Oh, I thought it was, like, intense and harsh. Like, Cassie said, this is a line in the sand. friendship ending. Yeah,
she should.
She literally said, "You pathetic, demented child." That was the quote. She like that was nice. I just don't. Oh, it was all necessary, but I wasn't underwhelmed. Wait, I was also, like, oh, this is it.
Sorry, this is completely off topic, but I just need to bring it up because I remember I highlighted it. I think also the reason why the modern day stuff was freaking me out was because when she was talking about the trip to Anguilla, where they stayed at the Malauulu, which is the trip I literally did 3 weeks ago.
When did they go there?
She was talking, they didn't go there. She was talking about like work. Like she was like, I'm talking to this ex person who's angry about his trip to Anguilla and their suite at the Malauulu is not facing the ocean or some shit like that.
Did you like that? That was there?
No, it was freaky. Freaky deaky.
Yeah, no, this book, it's like she was listening in on the redhead.
It's redhead coded.
It's redhead coded.
It is redhead coded.
Yeah.
I like that, but Snitch, you don't like that.
No.
Corolla, sorry in advance.
Not one smut scene, Snitch.
I know, not once. I thought maybe when Alex and her had sex for the first time, we'd get a little bit of
smut. We got a little smut on that porch in St. Bart's.
Like, barely.
No, it was just
it was a sentence.
It was just like parental lovemaking.
I don't like when authors who never like wrote smut before like start writing a little smut into their books to like keep up with what's going on right now.
Yeah.
It makes it like it really makes me uncomfortable.
I agree.
Yeah, that's
even though I'm sure Tell Me Lies was smutty, the book.
For sure. I read it. I don't remember.
Well, I guess Corolla can't be put into a box. A smutty box.
What nobody think, puts Counselor? Corolla can on a corner.
Can you think she can be put into a smutty box?
I don't think she can be put into a smutty box.
Okay, let's move on because I do want to get to Hollywood Treatment because I'm so curious. But the moral of the story.
Don't act on your intrusive thoughts.
I kept thinking of the Serenity Prayer where it's like, grant me the serenity to accept the things.
The people I cannot change.
Yes, the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah, that's good.
Mine is you're here for a reason, a season, or a lifetime.
Ooh, love. Like friends.
Oh, like friendship. Oh, I thought you meant like you, like yourself.
Yeah, no, like your friend.
No, but I meant to say friendships. You're here for a reason, a season, or a lifetime.
Oh, I like that.
Love.
I didn't really think of one.
You can use fair. I haven't thought of one in the last few months, and I've been riding off of your guys' coattails, so I thought it was my time.
I always just wait for it to come to me, but like it didn't.
Yeah.
Like, you never know what someone else is going through. Am I in their shoes? I feel like that could be the moral for any book that has multiple POVs.
Yeah.
Okay, now for the Hollywood treatment. You guys, I really feel like this could be turned into a show or a movie. Corolla, you know, she works with Hulu. Dana said that Josh's mom said that it's going to be turned into a Hulu movie. So who would you cast as Cassidy?
Margot Oshry.
I had Margot Robbie.
Oh. Bex?
I had Allison Brie.
Oh, that's good. I had Lucy Fry.
Oh.
She's from Vampire Diaries. Remember, Snitch?
Lucy Fry.
I actually had Brianna Papaglia, a.k.a. Brianna Chicken Fry, a.k.a. Zach Bryan's TikTok girlfriend that I'm obsessed with. I think she would be an excellent Cassidy.
And then for Billy, I have Dana's favorite, Shailene Woodley.
Oh, I like that.
I had Kat Dennings.
I had Jillian Jacobs from like Community and Love.
Yeah, Gillian.
Gillian?
Yeah, I think it's Gillian.
Yikes.
I had Sarah Chalk. She was from Firefly Lane. She was in Scrubs. She was because her role in Firefly Lane is kind of like the suck up friend.
She's 47. for a literal book that's solely about age.
Solely literally about age. It's like 1 year. Well, I'm sorry, 2 weeks of their life.
She looks great for her age.
No, you were just going based on the character trope.
Yes, yes.
Which, by the way, it is the same relationship as Firefly Lane.
Right?
That's a great comparison. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, let's do our overall rating of this book. Dana, what did you rate it?
4.5.
Love that. I'll go next with a 4.8.
Oh my God, you guys.
I give high generous ratings. I'm surprised I didn't give 5. Rebecca?
2.5.
Satchel?
3.5.
Robbery.
Oh my God. Dana, what did you give it? 4.8?
5.
Oh my god.
3.825.
Great. Too high.
Great. That feels right.
The rating is too damn high.
Oh, wow. So that ties it with Frozen River and Magnificent Lives of Marjorie Post for number 21.
Okay. That feels right.
Weird.
Great. So that is a wrap on Bye Baby. I've enjoyed my time here. Thank you, Dana. Now it is time for the other books that we read this month. I haven't read. Okay. Yeah. No, I didn't read anything again. Rebecca?
I also did not read.
Respect. Satchel?
I did not read.
Dana, bring us home.
I read one very long book called A Prayer for Owen Meany by John Irving. I was craving a John Irving novel. You know, he's one of my favorite authors. He wrote The World According to Garp and Cider House Rules, two classics. So I delved back in. I gave it a 4.2. It was good. Not as good as the two I just mentioned, but his writing is just incredible.
Ooh, you do love those books.
Oh, love.
You should read... Oh, no, that's John Boyne. Never mind.
Oh, but love him,
love
too.
Love him.
The House of Special Purpose.
Did not read that one by him. I read the other three, but not that.
It's, like, about a real thing. I won't say anymore.
Definitely add it to my list.
I didn't read it, by the way. Just one.
Doesn't matter. He's a good enough author. He could be writing about, like, dirt, and I would like it.
The House of Special Purpose as a thing is fascinating. So that's why I know it is.
Adding it now.
Good to know.
Satchel, what will we be reading next month?
I'm so glad that you asked. We will be reading When We Were Enemies, a novel by Emily Bleeker.
Wow, that sounds so great. What genre is it?
I don't know, but this is what the synopsis is. Two women, generations apart in the spotlight, a powerful novel about family secrets, devastating choices, and hope for the future by the best-selling author of When I'm Gone.
Did you read When I'm Gone?
I did not. I don't know who Emily Bleeker is.
How'd you find this book?
Goodreads.
Great.
Love.
I'm excited to read it. I'm excited for another When We book by Satchel. Satchel said.
At least it's not the, what is it, the one, the things, the things.
The things, the yeah. Things. If you ever write a book, Satch, it will be called When We Were by Satchel. Satchel said.
No, The Things of When We Were by Satchel. Satchel
said. Oh, When We Were the Things.
That we left behind on
the side of the road. That we didn't give a darn about.
Until we did.
Okay, well, thank you guys so much for another wonderful episode of The Redheads. Thank you to my girlies for participating. Thank you to our community for listening. And thank you to these authors for these constant stream of fantastic books. We will see you on the next one. Love ya.
Bye. Love ya.
Bye.
Bye.